Welcome to episode 14 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Rochelle Mazar, and I'm an emerging technologies librarian at the University of Toronto, Mississauga. Every month, you can listen in as I talk about what's new in technology and what we as academics should be paying attention to. It's hard to keep up with all the new software, tools, and gadgets. That's where I come in. Course readings are a key component of many university classes. How might the digital world shape course readings and course reserves? In this episode, I discuss the future of the course bibliography amidst the ongoing rise of a digital culture. For many instructors, one of the key pieces of their courses is the readings they assign to students. Books, journal articles, textbooks, these are the basic building blocks of many syllabi, and one of the most important services delivered by your library. With the current set of online teaching tools, you can give a lecture from your desk, you can have discussions with your students on blogs and forums, and you can have online office hours. So how are course readings changing in the face of all this innovation? And what does that mean for you and for your students? In the library world, we call these course reserves. We reserve a piece of the library collection and set it aside for the exclusive use of your students for the duration of the course. And we attach a much shortened loan period to it, generally counted in hours rather than days or weeks. Historically, we've done that to make sure that items you want students to have access to are available and aren't taken out of the building by a graduate student with a long loan period. We are essentially creating a tiny library just for your class. The whole concept is based on the idea that the supply of academic material is limited, and that the library is the only place these materials can be seen and interacted with. Of course, that's no longer the case. Books still exist, obviously. Journal issues are shipped out to physical mailboxes. But increasingly, most academic material is available digitally, from computers or devices, by anyone with the right login credentials. About a decade ago, everyone believed that the library wouldn't be necessary in this digital future, because everything that used to be shelved in our stacks would be available behind a keyword on a search engine. But we're finding out that that future has not come to pass, and it seems very unlikely to. The material is there in digital formats, but it's not free or easy to come by. Your library pays significant sums of money every year to a variety of vendors to make sure that you and your students have access to what you need when you need it. And the libraries are still standing. We're in a transitional period when it comes to course readings. Any given course might have a real mixture of materials set aside for students to peruse. Digital journal articles, paper books with a limited loan period, some photocopied articles in folders hidden away behind the circulation desk and available on request. You could have a course reader, either created on your own and produced by a local print shop for students to buy, or one constructed using vendor-provided sections. You might have scanned book chapters, links to ebooks, and then, of course, the textbook, which might have a digital component sitting inside your course website as well. Course readings are so varied and come from so many different places. The variety of voices available to students seems like a very good thing. But are we only making it more complicated as we add more kinds of material? Is it time to let some of these versions go? The truth is, physical books appear to have a limited future in academia. Circulation of physical collections keeps going down, and the cost of housing them keeps going up. Digital material, on the other hand, can act as more than one copy, and we can increase the number of digital copies of any one book or article according to an on-the-fly need. Physically setting aside paper books and articles is probably a practice that will disappear over time. But right now, the need remains. You want your students to have easy access to specific materials for class, regardless of the format we have it in. One of the most common physical information objects used by faculty, especially when teaching first and second year students, is a textbook. Textbooks, like any tertiary source, are one way to get an overview of a subject without having to flip through large numbers of sources. Unfortunately for students, textbooks are expensive, and they keep getting more expensive. They're updated incredibly frequently, making cheaper, used textbooks obsolete. And most publishers are very cannily offering instructors complete online course materials, including videos and interactive practice tests to go along with it. It's a course in a box, essentially, paid for through the cost of a textbook by the students in your class. Given the incredible time pressure placed on contract faculty in particular, it's no surprise that the pain of being restricted by a vendor's decisions about how to structure a course is something new instructors are willing to bear in order to have a completely built and ready-to-go course. There isn't much support for students strapped for cash and looking at bills for 5 paper plus digital textbooks to cover all their course requirements either. Most libraries consider textbooks something students are required to buy and don't use their collection budgets for them. My library is an exception on that score. We buy all the textbooks in use on our campus in any given term. Unsurprisingly, it's one of our most popular services. The problem of textbooks has spawned a number of very interesting developments. Open access textbooks, for one, where faculty create tertiary materials for their classes and mix it in with materials other faculty have created and released under a Creative Commons license. It's perfectly tailored for the course, vetted by the instructor, and as current as any other textbook. It's more work, but it's completely free for the student. Another development is having students create textbook materials for each other as part of their coursework. A third-year class, let's say, replaces traditional essay assignments with writing sections of a textbook that, after being peer-reviewed, TA-reviewed, and vetted by the instructor, will go on to be part of the course materials for another class. Merge those two projects together, open access and this student-created textbook, and you get plenty of vetted content, easily edited, updated, and improved, all without the hefty price tag. Of course, reading peer-reviewed scholarly material, the product of years of research and writing, remains at the heart of a university education. Your library may be moving away from physical library reserves, but they can create a digital collection for your course and push that little library directly into your course website. That's surely only the beginning. We could transform all your course readings into editable and shiftable spaces so that your students can either individually or collectively comment on them, mark them up, pull out quotes and pieces and link them together with research data, graphs and charts, or paragraphs from other documents. They could add media or citations and share the whole thing with a class or with a study group, or just with you. We could turn the process of reading and thinking about text into something that looks more like an essay, or like an oral presentation, or like a seminar. The modern concept of reading has been of a solitary experience. It hasn't always been so, of course. Medieval readers thought of reading as something that was done aloud and collectively, and lectures, in their original meaning, were books read aloud to a group. Along the way, we constructed the lonely scholar locked in a book-lined room and lost that sense of reading and absorbing information as a group experience. But as our reading material becomes increasingly digital, and as our collaborative and interactive tools get better and more immediate, that's changing. With a digital document, collaborators can read or even write together, seeing each other's commentary and connections appear paragraph by paragraph or argument by argument. Interacting with a document can become more like a conversation, the one that it's trying to be, more like a discussion with the author and with your colleagues. In the future, course reading could be more like an engaging seminar than like sitting in a carrel with a paper book. While the advocates of quiet contemplation might find this concept terrifying, we know that human cultures advance fastest when in contact with other humans. The ideas of others propel our ideas forward. The advantage of digital interaction, as opposed to a medieval room filled with unwashed scholars, is that the interactive elements can always be switched off. Many people fear that the rise of a digital culture must, by nature, mean the death of books and reading. But what it might mean instead is that we read more and more actively. As we've always done with assigned reading, we may use text as an interface to build and scaffold learning, new ideas, and new connections. So far, the digital culture loves the written word as much as we do. That's it for this episode. Do you have any predictions for the future of course readings? Share them by posting a comment at the bottom of this podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.